are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Linda talks about the parable of the sower and how we can have strong roots in Jesus Christ.
So I want you to, they'll help me up to turn this scripture on really quickly. What I love about this passage is when Jesus is telling, listen! Exclamation, listen! I have something to say. And flip over to the next slide as he ends it, and you heard it in the passage. It says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Listen! I have something really important to say, and it matters. And if you have ears to hear, you should listen because I want you to understand. And what I'm going to share with you today, I believe, is so timely, is a word from the Lord. And there are people here today that will not be here tomorrow. And there are people here today, you are on the edge. You are crossing over. And my voice to you today is a rescue to you. And I want you to listen. Because the scriptures are saying that to you, to listen, to hear, and then to understand. Now, something about this passage that I want you to pay attention to is the constants in it. When you take a look at it, you see that the seed is constant. It's not a parable or a story about a good seed or a bad seed. In fact, the seed will take root given half the chance. Even a little bit of soil, the seed will take root. The seed is just one of the constants. The other is the sower that is constant. And this isn't a story about a good sower or a bad sower. And the thing to notice about the sower is how ridiculously generous the sower was. I mean, he was, and we depict this as Jesus, but he is just tossing the seeds out to the barren land, to the shallow land. He's just spreading it far and wide in an extreme generosity. In this story, what is really interesting is the soil. The soil is the variable. And when we look at these things, we can tell it. So I've used this passage before of all these different people, and I'm sharing the gospel and the barren. Well, I want you to look at it a little bit differently today, because the truth is this. You have, I know I have, had all four of these soils at different seasons of my life. All four. And as we walk we through these today, I want you to determine where are you today. And this is the voice of the Lord for you. First of all, there is the hardened soil. And that was the first one that he talked about. Some seeds fall on the path. The path talked about hard and it's dry and the seeds don't have a chance. They can't penetrate. They can't grow. They can't get rooted. They don't sprout. And then the birds come along. It's just lying on the top of this hard, crusty thing and they eat it and it's gone. You see, sometimes our souls get that way. Sometimes our souls grow cold and they become hardened. Why is that? The Bible gives us several reasons for that. One is sin. We get that. We know that. That sin separates us from God. Hebrews 3:13 says that you must warn each other every single day. Be bumper buddies. Have a friend that tells you, hey, you're going awry while it is still today, so that you won't be deceived by sin and hardened against God. A healthy soul is one that tends and experiences disintegration. It falls apart. It pulls apart. Sin always causes disintegration of the soul. It blocks you from a relationship with Christ. And then there's disappointment. Hardening comes from suffering and comes from sadness. And when you experience sadness or depression, it's a difficult emotion because there's the sadness that you feel because of a situation, and then there's the situation that there's been pain. And so it's double. It's sadness, sadness that you experience. And you feel this sadness can be a result of loss or helplessness or disappointment, you know, many things that can cause this. And it's important to remember, though, that on the other side of sadness, there is also the human emotion of joy. And because we experience sadness, we know that there can be joy. And the Bible tells us that joy comes in the morning. It does come back around to us. But what happens when we're in disappointment and sadness and suffering? We tend to insulate ourselves because we can't manage the pain anymore. And sometimes the way to insulate ourselves is just to shut down and to quit feeling and to harden our soul because we can't bear it anymore. And then another thing that makes our soul harden is bitterness. A hardened heart comes from, and a bitter spirit comes from when you get hurt or wounded and you allow bitterness to take root. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." You see, hurt people hurt people. When you get a bitter root with you, it's not just the trouble that comes in your own life, but it causes you to defile everybody that touches your life. And often a hardened heart can come when you've been hurt or wounded, especially unfairly so, and you allow bitterness to take root into your life. You see, the world encourages us to think of ourselves more as a victim than as a human. I'm a victim of this, and so I can wrap myself into this. I deserve this. And sometimes I'm so wrapped up in my own hurt, I'm not even seeing the hurt that I may be inflicting on other people. What are some early signs of a hardening heart? You don't really celebrate, and you don't really cry. You might on the outside, but in reality is you don't really feel it. You've gotten a hardened heart. You're numb. You stop genuinely caring. So much what is supposed to have meaning in your life feels mechanical. From your personal friendships to your family to your work to your church, the feeling is gone. You've lost passion. There's not a fire in your belly for anything. You no longer believe the best of people. In fact, when you meet people, you're so busy dissecting what's wrong with them, you don't see what's good about them. And they all have a flaw that you can't get past. I've been here. You come to church, but you don't sense God's presence. You're here because it's the right thing to do. But you feel this incredible barrier between you and God, either because of sin or just because it's just been too much suffering, or I'm just bitter. And you know, the biggest tragedy of a hardened soul is this, is a hardened soul is barren. There's no fruit in it. It's unproductive. You throw the seeds around on the ground, the sower throws the seeds, and the birds come along and they eat it. A barren soil, it's for the birds. Hardened soil, it's for the birds. So what do I do? What do I do? Linda, I'm there. You ask God, because he's listening, to open up your mind, to open up your heart and give you a soft heart and a soft conscience. A sensitive conscience, a soft heart, is one that loves what God loves. God, give me that. A sensitive heart, a sensitive conscience, and this open mind thinking is one that values what God values. An open mind, a soft heart, a sensitive conscience is one that shares his priorities. It loves his law and his truth. It's sad and productively mournful in the reality of sin, whether it be personal sin or the corporate sin of the body. You're soft. Where do you start? I love this passage found in Romans 12:2. It talks about renewing your mind by changing the way that you think. So you grab your thoughts, your feelings, your actions. You grab them and you say, God, I'm asking you for a soft heart. And Lord, help me, discipline me in this. And then you take those bad thoughts and you take those bad feelings and you begin to think new thoughts. And that gives you new feelings and that begins to give you new actions. And new life is born within your soul. You see, it's not what has happened to you that is your story and that takes you down. It's the lies that you attach to what happened to you. I'm worthless. I'm unworthy. I deserved it. I did that. And that's why this sin and this has happened to me. The souls, your soul was never intended to live apart from God and under his care and under his blessing. You see, the hardened soul is more vulnerable to being saved than it knows. And then there's the shallow soul. The seed on the rocky soil represents those, the scripture says, who hear the message and immediately receive it in joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. And they fall away as soon as they have problems or persecuted for believing God's word. The idea here is that there's not a bunch of rocks, but that there is this thin layer of topsoil that's on the rocks, and the rocks are underneath. And the seed has life until the sun comes out, until challenges come their way, and then life withers really quickly because the soil is too shallow for the roots. The shallow soil is the superficial mind. And I don't know about you, but don't we live in a world today that is very, very superficial? We move fast, we discard quickly. We're a society of the immediate and the shallow. We are a shallow soul, and when you are a shallow soul, it means that you lack depth. You see, you've heard the word of God. In fact, maybe even today you've made a decision for that. And I've been here before. But you haven't let the word of God come in and transform and change your life, change the way you think. You're not aligning your life with his word. And so you go through the steps, but it doesn't change your heart. You accept Jesus and maybe make a rapid progress in your life. You went through Grow Track, you're pumped. But when trials hit or courage is needed in expressing your faith or standing the line, your roots are not deep. You don't have an anchor for your soul. So you fall away. Your stream becomes murky. And then eventually you wither and die. For many, we medicate. How do we medicate? Sex, drugs, alcohol, maybe video games, activities of pleasure, wasting time, that really just don't draw us to God. We just medicate. We just don't want to feel it. You see, it's very easy to remain a shallow Christian. The world does everything in its power to keep you shallow. We're busy. We're fast. We're distracted. And it's getting busier. It's getting faster. And it's getting more easily distracted all the time. So how do you know if you're a deep Christian or if you're a shallow Christian? This is simple. How do you respond to pressure? When the heat is on, what does the world see in you? If you've got roots, you blossom. If you don't have roots, you dry up and you wither. You can tell a person's depth by how they handle the trials, the hassles, and stress that comes your way. Will you have trials and hassles and stress? Yes, Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation. Plan on it. But the word of God can bring new life and depth to your life. So how do you grow roots? First of all, you allocate time to be in relationship with Jesus. You decide that you're going to go deep. What does that look like? Well, for us as a church, it looks like what's found in the first church in Acts 2. And it's how we plan our activities, it's how we plan our thinking, it's how we work through our events. We try to create these purposes in every single thing that we do. Because we know if you will make these practices yours, that you will thrive. What is that? First of all, worship. You're to submerge yourself in prayer, surrender to God, and worship. We don't open up our services with worship just to kind of give Ray time to get ready to preach. There's a purpose in that, an intentionality in that. And when you worship, even if you don't sing the song, but you should try singing the song, but even if you don't, you're not a singer, the presence of the Lord just begins to fill and flood this place. And there's something powerful with music that causes your heart to soar. And most songs are written very poetic, poems. Poems and melodies written together is to worship and touch your soul and make you surrender your life and your heart to God and before God. The other purpose we focus on and grow. We want you to soak in God's word, to meditate on it, to memorize it, to intentionally apply it. We want you to be a part of a small group or a class. We want you to be a part of a community so that you can rub together and become like one another and grow in Him. It's why we're being really intentional this year about launching and strengthening our small group ministries. You need to be in community with each other so that you can grow. The other one is serve. This is how you take a step forward. You find places that you can serve others. You want to get rid of yourself? Begin to serve another person. You want to get out of your pity party? Begin to serve another person who has it worse off than you. And you will find life come to your soul. That's why we take you through Grow Track now, and we want to get you into dream teams. Not because we need your labor. Frankly, we do. But technically, we don't. But God needs your heart, and that's how He grows in you and takes out your selfishness, is when you begin to serve other people. And then reach is the other thing that we focus on. You know, we want to get you involved in local outreach. There was canvassing yesterday. There's the community outreach coming up here. We want you to be a part of missions trips. We let you be a part of these things so that you will grow. Because Jesus says this is how you grow. And belong. Yes, you can listen to the podcast. Yes, you can watch us online. But here's the deal. There's something powerful with God's people becoming and coming together. Where two or three are gathered in His name, there I am in the midst of Him. Do you know who you hang out with is who you become? You may not even really like the person you're sitting next to. Don't look on either side. But there's purpose in that relationship. And as we begin to hang together, what I love about the church, we're different races, we're different backgrounds, we're different economics. And we come together as the family of God, and it's beautiful and it's gorgeous and extravagant. And it gives you life. I will tell you a quick secret. If you're feeling hardened right now and suffering or feeling like you are in shallow, you know what you need to do? This simple thing. Every morning when you wake up, before you look at your internet or read the newspaper or whatever it is, do we read newspapers not online? I don't know. Whatever you do, is go read one psalm. Just read the psalm. That's it. And then once a week, do a way to be in a small group or go to coffee, go to lunch with another believer. Those two things will rock your world. It's simple, I know, it's like so trite, but it'll give life to your soul, health to your flesh, and strength to your bones. This belonging is such an important issue. This week, July 11th, Wall Street Journal posted this article, "Is God the Answer to Epidemic Suicide?" Was saying that the suicide rate is climbing in the last 20 years and that they're seeing a rate of 45,000 suicides a year. That's an epidemic. That's a dark world. That's a sad world. That's a suffering world. That's hurting people. This is what the article said. Attending church can reduce the suicide rate. Not my words. Policymakers should recognize that the decline of the church in the U.S. affects far more than Christians. It affects the social and even physical health of entire communities. Why do you need to come to church? So you be healthy. The Bible says that the indwelling place, it closes the article with this, the indwelling place of God is with man. Put another way, churches are nothing but people meeting together for spiritual communion. The setup might look simple, but a house of worship is a transcendental doctor's office offering preventive care, support group therapy, and healing hope. People living in our increasingly secular culture are hungry for spiritual wisdom and transcendent purpose. For the already vulnerable, this drought of meaning and connection can have deadly consequences. For thousands of years, practicing a shared faith was a principal way to meet these spiritual needs. It can begin again. What an article. Twitter was lit up with this week. When you're active in worship, you're active in belonging, growing, serving, reaching out to others, you build roots that become the anchor for your soul. And when you're under pressure and you're uptight and the world goes awry, and it will, you're ready. Hardened soul, you've got to ask the Lord for a soft heart, an open heart, a sensitive conscience. Shallow soul, you've got to have a heart that you want to allocate time, a soul. You say, I'm going to allocate time to listen and to go deep. Next is the cluttered soul. You know this one, the seed that was put amongst the thorns. And I love this passage in Mark 4:18 that you literally can say, and I put numbers on it. One translation, I said, it's called them weeds. The weeds of, one, worries of this life. Weeds of, two, the lure of wealth. Weeds of, three, the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. That's as scary as the hardened soul. Mediocre Christian, just as scary as a hardened soul. Somebody said a long time ago that if the devil can't make you sin, he will make you busy and distracted, because either way, your soul will shrivel. We live in this world of, if I cease to be busy, do I matter? How many of us say, like, hey, what'd you do yesterday? Oh, I'm so busy. What'd you do yesterday? Absolutely nothing. And we go, woohoo! We're more critical of that. The cluttered soul is a person that is preoccupied with externals, success, reputation, lifestyle, maybe gossip. And if this is your soul, you may be dead internally and not even recognize it. You might not even know. You look good on the outside, but there's not an internal strength on the inside. The solution, eliminate distractions. What is a weed? A weed is anything that I let rob my time with God, that distracts me from a life with God. Can it be a good thing? Yes. A weed can be anything. Anything that takes away, becomes your God, and distracts you of attention with God and for God. How much effort does it take to grow a weed? Absolutely nothing. In fact, my yard is full of them. My weeds thrive better than my plants do. And yet, they're watered all the same. They grow naturally in my yard, and in fact, I have many varieties of them. And you don't have to cultivate them. But you see, this is the point. Weeds are a sign of neglect. You have weeds in your yard when you're neglecting your yard. This is something that we really need to get serious about, because your soul is at stake. It matters. The cluttered soul, my friend, is closer to being saved than it knows. There's hope for you. And then there's finally the fruitful soul. And this is a seed that fell on the good soil. And often in storytelling, Jesus has used this tool called embellishment, the exaggeration of detail when he begins to tell a story and to picture the abundance of the kingdom life and the character that characterizes the Father's kingdom. And in this story, it talks about the harvest. And you see, back then in a bad year, a harvest might just produce a couple heads of grain. And a good year, it might produce 20 or 25. But at the end of this parable, it says in verse 23, it's this huge, huge, huge harvest. 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as it has been planted. Whew. He says the kingdom fruitfulness for your life is beyond human comprehension. That's how great and how vast and it's big. And so many of us, sometimes we get this checklist as we're walking our life with God, that he has this list of rules and regulations. And if we check, 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 follow that we become righteous and holy and in his favor. I'm telling you today, you become more Pharisees. You know the truth, but you lack the power. And then some of us fall short and we just say, I've sinned this much, I'm just going to keep going in this direction, or here I am and I just can't move forward. And our ground becomes hard or stony, becomes shallow, it becomes full of weeds, and we choke out the good fruit. The reality is our lives are more like, Jesus has given this extraordinary, beautiful guidelines for us. And he says this, child, this is how I created you. Child, I have so much for you. Child, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Follow my ways. Follow me. Come on. Come on. What's important for the fruitful soil? You may be fruitful, but are you doing anything with it? What do you do if you have fruitful soil? You cooperate with what God says to you. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Your soul is the stream of your life. As I said before, if your soul is healthy, no external circumstance can destroy your life. If your soul is unhealthy, no external circumstance can redeem your life. If God did a scan on your soul, what would he find? Would he find a hardened soul? Have you let sin leak in? Are you weary with the suffering? You're just numb and you're sad. You're mad at God, something that he's allowed to happen in your life. Is your soil hardened? Open your mind. Ask him to touch it. Ask him to refresh you. The Bible says, if you seek me, I will be found by you. He's waiting for the invitation. Do you have a shallow, superficial soul? Are you a believer, but you have no depth? Dig in. Dig in. Is your soul cluttered? Is there so much going on? You're so busy that you've given God the spoils of your life and not your first fruits? Eradicate them. Eliminate the distractions. This is so incredibly important. I don't say this to you today as a person who has it all together. There's been seasons of my life that I've sinned. Don't judge me. Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's a season that I was walking on a corporate track and was doing business in 43 countries. I liked my life. It was personal Learjets and glamorous hotels. And I got on the corporate climb and I found myself in a place with a cluttered soul. Don't judge me. I know there's some of you here today that have done the same thing. There are seasons of my life that I've been shallow. I've not grown deep. I've been busy. I've actually been busy doing things for God. And yet I didn't know God in the way that I should. There's times in my life that I've been fruitful. And I've known God and I've been deep, close, beautiful relationship with him. I walk on walks and I listen to worship and I sing praises and I can quote scripture. But I'm not doing his will. I'm doing my will. And if we're in those places, there comes a point where the soul will shrivel up. I don't say these things to you today as an expert. I say these things to you today to plead for your life. And Jesus is saying to you, listen, if you have ears to hear, some of you will not return. Some of you will, this week will be your week. Some of you are dabbling on the line and you're at the point where you're going to cross over and you're not even going to hear the voice of God anymore. This has been a rough year for Ray and me, a rough year. 10.5 months ago, I had a major heart attack. I've climbed out of that hole. I'm doing good. I've had to pay attention to self-care, but soul care kept me anchored. This year, Ray lost his younger sister, his older brother, one of his older brothers, his mother. And yesterday, we had the funeral for his brother, and so we drove down to Lebanon. We had word that morning that his dad was taken to the hospital, and we wrestled. We were busy. We had to come back here and do services, and we thought, oh, well, we could probably go see him later. And we decided, no, we need to go see him now. And so kind of, I don't know if conversations happened, but all the family joined together and drove down into Eugene, and we all walked in the hotel room, and we were sitting around, and He looked great. He looked good. He looked vibrant. And we were laughing and we were showing pictures and we were talking about grandchildren, new grandchildren coming along and all the great grandchildren, all these great things. And the doctor came and pulled Ray and his brother out of the hospital room, and they were out there just for minutes. And I was sitting by his side, and I'm looking at his eyes, and I said, something's wrong. And I got up out of the chair. We were all so calm. I got up the chair, went out into the thing. I said, something's wrong. And the doctor came in, and within moments, with his family circled around him, he was gone. That was yesterday. Quite a day. Listen! If you have ears to hear, Jesus says, your hardened heart, I'm wooing you. Soften your heart to me. I'm wooing. I'm calling you. Your heart is shallow. Go deeper within me. I've provided you a way. This is a great church. I don't say that lightly. This is a great church. And we do activities and programs for you that help you to grow, gather together to become more like Jesus. If your life is cluttered, it is so dangerous where you're walking right now. You don't even know how far away from God you are because you're so cluttered and busy. If you're fruitful, do God's will for you. John Orper writes in Soul Keeping this beautiful poem, I have been waiting. I'm shy, terribly shy. Even the most boisterous person, I can only whisper, never shout. You may never even notice me. I'm here. I'm waiting. I do not lie on the surface. If you look and listen patiently, you will know. I speak through your confusion, through your wanting, through your hurt. When you stammer, when you say what you do not mean, it was I. When you watch a sunset or hear a child laugh or listen to a piece of music that causes you to suddenly become choked up, it is I that causes your eye to fill. When you're addicted, it is I that has changed. When the sun burns up and the universe melts away, I will be there. In fact, it's all that is left. I will not be ignored. I can be wounded, lost, repulsed, or redeemed. Your circumstances actually do not matter. In fact, it matters far less to you than your happiness than you think. It is my health that makes your life heaven or hell. I am your soul. I am here. When Ray and I go to Ethiopia, we notice that the villages, and this is common sense, begin to cloister around bodies of water. And you can show this next picture. And this, the stream becomes the lifeline to the community. It's where they get their water, take care of their animals, do their laundry. All of life is around the stream. And it's so important that this stream remains healthy, because the health of this stream means the health of the village. You see, if you can't care for your soul for you, you need to care for your soul for the village that you touch. Because the life of your stream impacts the village. And as we gather around that, the village thrives or dies in the health of the stream. It's powerful. It's beautiful. I want to close with this song. And I don't know where you sit today, but I just know where we've been this year. And if the Lord was not the anchor of our soul, we would not have made it. And I want to sing a song today that we all know very, very well. It is Well With My Soul. And as we sing this song, I want you just to process, is it well with my soul? Is it well with my soul? I would suggest that you make a simple, simple prayer. Father, help me to have an open mind, an open heart, a sensitive conscience to you. I want to be open and soft to what you have to say. Take sin away from me. Strengthen my suffering. Remove the bitterness. Father, please forgive me Help me to forgive the people who have hurt me knowingly or unknowingly. God, help me to allocate time to listen to you, to go deeper with you. Lord, help me. Take away the distractions of my life, those good things that are not the best things, where the world screams in our ear, this is what good and success and right and how we should be, that, God, we can get 24-hour news and be on our phones constantly, gossip and read gossip all over Facebook. Lord, help me take away the distractions. Give me space for the things of you. And God, help me to cooperate with your will and with your plan, with your ways, not mine. Help my soul to thrive, to flourish. If that's your prayer, he hears you. He hears you.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.